Do you know what the number one cause of accidents is? Human behavior. Human behavior, number one cause of accidents. As a pilot, you are responsible for determining whether or not you are in a condition for a particular flight. Most of the preventable accidents do have one common factor, human error rather than mechanical malfunction. So good aeronautical decision making is necessary to prevent human error. Aeronautical decision making is a systematic approach to the mental process used by pilots to consistently determine the best course of action in response to a given set of circumstances. The aeronautical decision-making process addresses all aspects of the decision-making process in the cockpit, and the ADM process identifies the steps involved in good decision-making. So let's talk about what those are. The steps in good decision-making are, there's six of them. One, identifying personal attitudes that are hazardous to safe flight. Two, learning behavior modification techniques. Three, learning how to recognize and cope with stress. Four, developing risk assessment skills. Five, using all resources in a multi-crew situation. And six, evaluating the effectiveness of one's aeronautical decision-making skills. There are a number of classic, what are called behavioral traps, into which pilots have been known to fall. Pilots, particularly those with considerable experience, as a rule, always try to complete a flight as planned, please passengers, meet schedules, and generally demonstrate that they have the right stuff. These tendencies ultimately may lead to practices that are dangerous and often illegal, and they may lead to a mishap. All experienced pilots have fallen prey to or have been tempted by one or more of these tendencies in their flying careers. These are dangerous tendencies, and these must be identified and eliminated. And they are peer pressure, poor decision making based on emotional response to peers rather than evaluating a situation objectively, mindset is the inability to recognize and cope with changes in the situation different than those anticipated or planned. Get there-itis. This tendency, common among pilots, clouds the vision and impairs judgment by causing a fixation on the original goal or destination combined with a total disregard for any alternative course of action. The duck-under syndrome, the tendency to sneak a peek by descending below minimums during an approach based on a belief that there's always a built-in fudge factor that can be used, or an unwillingness to admit defeat and shoot a missed approach. Scud running, pushing the capabilities of the pilot and aircraft to the limit by trying to maintain visual contact with the terrain while trying to avoid physical contact with it. This attitude is characterized by the old pilot's joke, "If it's too bad to go IFR, we'll go VFR." Continuing VFR into instrument conditions, which often leads to spatial disorientation or a collision with the ground. It is even more dangerous if the pilot is not instrument qualified or current. Getting behind the aircraft or allowing events or the situation to control your actions rather than the other way around. Getting behind the aircraft is characterized by a constant state of surprise at what happens next. Loss of positional or situational awareness. This is another case of getting behind the aircraft, which results in not knowing where you are, or an inability to recognize deteriorating circumstances, or the misjudgment of the rate of deterioration. Operating without adequate fuel reserves. Ignoring minimum fuel requirements, either for VFR or IFR flight, it's generally the result of overconfidence, lack of flight planning, or just ignoring the regulations. Descent below minimum en route altitude. This is a duck-under syndrome mentioned earlier. It manifests itself during the en route portion of an IFR flight. Flying outside the envelope. This is an unjustified reliance on the usually mistaken belief that the aircraft's high performance capabilities meets the demands imposed by the pilot's usually overestimated flying skills, and neglect of flight planning, pre-flight inspections, checklists, etc. This is an unjustified reliance on the pilot's short and long-term memory, regular flying skills, and repetitive and familiar routes. Advisory Circular 60-22, Aeronautical Decision Making, has contained in it a self-assessment hazardous attitude inventory test, which is used to gain a realistic perspective on your attitudes toward flying. Each pilot should take the self-assessment hazardous attitude inventory test, which requires you to provide a response which most accurately reflects your reasoning behind your decision. You have to choose one of the five reasons given for making that decision, and even though you may not consider any of the five choices acceptable, the inventory test presents extreme cases of incorrect pilot decision making in an effort to introduce you to the five types of hazardous attitudes. Aeronautical decision making addresses the following five hazardous attitudes: anti-authority, impulsivity, invulnerability, macho, and resignation. Hazardous attitudes which contribute to poor judgment can be effectively counteracted by redirecting that hazardous attitude so that the appropriate action can be taken. The first step in neutralizing hazardous attitudes is through recognition. You should become familiar with a means of counteracting the hazardous attitudes which we all have, and also an appropriate antidote thought. So when you recognize a thought as hazardous, you should label the thought as hazardous and then correct it by stating the correct response. The five hazardous attitudes and their antidote are: anti-authority, or don't tell me. This attitude is found in people who do not like anyone telling them what to do. In a sense, what they're saying is, no one can tell me what to do. They may be resentful of having someone tell them what to do regarding rules, regulations, and procedures, and they may think that rules, regulations, and procedures are silly or unnecessary. The antidote for this attitude is, follow the rules, they are usually right. Impulsivity, or do something quickly. This is the attitude people have who frequently feel they need to do something, anything, immediately. They don't stop to think about what they're doing. They don't select the best alternative. They just do the first thing that comes into their mind. The antidote for this attitude is, not so fast. Think first. Invulnerability, or it won't happen to me. Many people feel that accidents happen to others, but never to them. They know that accidents can happen, and they know that anyone can be affected, but they never really feel or believe that they will be personally involved. Pilots who think this way are more likely to take chances and increase risk. The antidote for this attitude is, it could happen to me. Macho, or I can do it. Pilots who are always trying to prove that they are better than anyone else are thinking, I can do it, I'll show them. Pilots with this type of attitude will try to prove themselves by taking risks in order to impress others. While this pattern is thought to be a male characteristic, women are equally susceptible. The antidote for this attitude is, taking chances is foolish. And finally, resignation, or what's the use? Pilots who think, what's the use? They don't see themselves as being able to make a great deal of difference in what happens to them. When things go well, the pilot is apt to think of that as good luck. When things go badly, the pilot may feel that someone is out to get me, or attribute it to bad luck. The pilot will leave the action to others for better or worse. Sometimes such pilots will even go along with unreasonable requests just to be nice. The antidote for this attitude is, I'm not helpless, I can make a difference. So these hazardous attitudes which contribute to poor pilot judgment can be effectively counteracted. When you recognize a thought as hazardous, you should label that thought as hazardous and then correct that thought by stating the corresponding antidote. We'll talk a little bit here about stress management. If you hope to succeed at reducing the stresses associated with crisis management in the air or at your job, you need to take a personal assessment of stress in all the areas of your life. Because good cockpit stress management techniques begin with good life stress management. Many of the coping techniques practiced for life stress management are not usually practiced in flight. Rather, you must condition yourself to relax and think rationally when stress appears. So here's a checklist which outlines some thoughts on cockpit stress management. 1. Avoid situations that distract you from flying the aircraft. 2. Reduce your workload to reduce stress levels. This will create a proper environment in which to make good decisions. 3. If an emergency does occur, be calm. Think for a moment. Weigh the alternatives, then act. 4. Maintain proficiency in your aircraft. Proficiency builds confidence. Familiarize yourself thoroughly with your aircraft, its systems, and emergency procedures. 5. Know and respect your own personal limits. 6. Don't let little mistakes bother you until they build up into a big thing. Wait until after you land, then analyze past actions. And 7. If flying is adding to your stress, either stop flying or seek professional help to manage your stress to keep it within acceptable limits. Finally, the DECIDE model, DECIDE, the DECIDE model 6-step process is intended to provide you with a logical way of approaching decision making. The 6 elements of the DECIDE model represent a continuous loop decision process which can be used to assist you in the decision making process. When you're faced with a change in a situation that requires a judgment, this is the model that you want to use. This model is primarily focused on the intellectual component, but it can have an impact on the motivational component of judgment as well. If you practice the DECIDE model in all decision making, its use can become very natural, and it could result in better decisions under all types of situations. So the DECIDE model is detect, estimate, choose, identify, do, and evaluate. Detect. The decision maker detects the fact that a change has occurred. Estimate. The decision maker estimates the need to counter or react to the change. Choose. The decision maker chooses a desirable outcome in terms of success for the flight. Identify. The decision maker identifies actions which could successfully control the change. Do. The decision maker takes the necessary action. And evaluate. The decision maker evaluates the effect of his or her actions countering the change. I found 3 questions on the written test question bank regarding aeronautical decision making. Hazardous attitudes occur to every pilot to some degree at some time. What are some of these hazardous attitudes? The answer is anti-authority, impulsivity, macho, resignation, and invulnerability. Also, in the aeronautical decision-making process, what is the first step in neutralizing a hazardous attitude? Answer, recognizing hazardous thoughts. And the 3rd question I found was, risk management as part of the aeronautical decision-making process relies on which features to reduce the risks associated with each flight? The answer is situational awareness, problem recognition, and good judgment. I've seen other test questions on other tests that asked what the remedies were for each of the 5 hazardous attitudes, but I didn't find any of those particular questions in this 2005-2006 question bank.